Good morning. Good morning, MPs. Good morning, Madam Commissioner Elżbieta Bieńkowska and her team. Commissioner has been in Lisbon since yesterday. She already visited the balcony of the Parliament and the nice view of Lisbon. But now we have a meeting for 1 hour. The program is as follows. Madam Commissioner, we have 15 minutes to speak first, then 6 minutes per each parliamentary group and three committees that are present in this hearing. The Committee for European Matters, the 17th Committee, and the Committee for the Economy. This hearing, and the main subjects are Country Report Portugal 2018 and European Semester, the barriers to competition in the single market. Madam Commissioner is responsible precisely for the portfolio of single market, industry, entrepreneurship, SMEs. And finally, the MMF, that, as you know, the proposal will be presented by the European Commission next week. So now I give the floor to the Commissioner. Welcome, Madam. Thank you.
Thank you very much. It's really a pleasure and honor for me to be here with you, with the European Affairs Committee. I would like to share with you my, but also Commission's, of course, on behalf of the Commission position on the three points, as was mentioned, so the European Semester, Country Report Portugal in 2018, then the business environment, so from the perspective of the single market, because this is my portfolio, this is my main point of my interest and my responsibility, and then a few words of the MFF, DEX MFF, so the multi-annual financial framework, as it is a very, very on-time topic in Brussels and in the Commission, as you know, on the 2nd of May, so in a few days, we'll adopt and present the first our proposal on the MFF, next MFF 21-27. So first on the country report and country-specific recommendation, there is not really extremely much to say because the report and the recommendation will be quite positive, as you know, after the reforms that were made a few years ago. And after really very difficult times, Portugal is now a really example for many European countries how the economic growth and economic development and strong recovery should look like. Portugal economy is really growing in a pace of 2.7. Last year it was 2.7% of GDP. Reduction of unemployment and reduction of external imbalances will be also visible in the recommendations. So what European semester exercise translated into Council recommendations point and will point is the need of improvement in some points, as you also know. I know it, I'm from Poland, that in the good times you need to really make reforms and make even more than maybe it's very visible by everybody, but it's really important in good times to take all the efforts to really reform further. So what recommendation will point is reducing labor market segmentation and you have, as we all know, a very large share in the contracts of the temporary contracts. Skills, which is, yesterday I had a series of meeting with the ministers. I had also a citizens dialogue with representatives of civil society. And also from my perspective, skills in the European Union and also in Portugal is something what we need to address on different levels. And this is something which is, of course, educational system is, of course, not in the in the responsibility, the sector of responsibility of the European Commission. But in the sector of skills, in the area of skills, we want to very much cooperate with the member states, because this is something, as I also discussed it with the companies, this is something what can really harm our labour market, and what can really have a very, if it's not pointed, and if we do not focus on this properly, it can really harm our competitiveness in the next year to come. So this is number one. We have some additional points, so increase the efficiency of the judiciary and reducing administrative burden, which is remove restriction in services, particularly as regards regulated professions. And this is my area of my responsibility, because this is really extremely important. We were discussing it yesterday in the Ministry of Economy, after the really series of sometimes painful reforms in the macroeconomic sector. Those microeconomic part is extremely important. So the administrative burden, red tapes, companies, skills. Let me say a few words on the regulated professions. Regulated activities in Portugal, in particular those for which the regulations have been in place for many years, really require decisive simplification of sectoral formalities. And of course, we noticed the adoption of the framework law for highly regulated professions during the financial assistance program. It was a start of a regulatory reform we were also discussing with yesterday. We know that soon the report from OECD on regulated profession will be published. But it has to be said that Portugal has one of the highest number of the regulated professions, and this you should look at this also as I'm looking always from like personal point of view. If we have like almost 500 regulated professions in Europe generally, not in Portugal, because we have few tens of it in different member states, but around 500 regulated professions, and I'm not talking only about lawyers, financial services, you know, medical doctors, but I'm talking also about hairdressers, for example, and ski teachers. This is something which is really highly harmful for our single market and for our exchange of the services across border. This is something. So we adopted as a commission last year very soft communication on this. I mean, soft. This is, of course, not directives, not any regulations. We are trying through exchanging best practices and through forcing softly again, as I would say it, forcing softly member states to really examine whether regulated professions in their countries are really this what they want from the single market. Because, of course, you can easily see and you can easily observe the wrong sides of the regulated profession in some other member states, but very difficult to observe it in your own member state. So this is what I try to convince. I didn't have to because Minister understands it also, but I'm also calling on you on this, because this is one of the most important, I think, part of our of this what we call administrative burden. Because on many other issues, we are on a commission, and my position as a commissioner responsible for single market is the same as Portuguese government. We have too many burdens in the European Union economic market, single market. I keep repeating this, that we should not mix the single market with Schengen, with Erasmus. Single market means no economic borders between the member states. And this is not... This is not the case for now in the European Union, unfortunately. And by small things, we are addressing this with my services, for example, regulated professions and other initiatives that are ongoing in the European Parliament. Because, of course, you also understand, members of the Portuguese Parliament, that our proposals. MFF also, that we will propose, then it goes to the Parliament, to the European Parliament, then it goes to the Council. the work of the Portuguese Commission reform recommendation for the regulation of professional services, I'm coming back to it, really has proven that very valuable in regards to the regulatory environment for professional services, and its reform needs to continue. I also discussed yesterday with the Minister, and we also recognize it that there is a lot of efforts towards, for example, dealing with the companies, with the simplification of the life of the companies. So Portugal is establishing like one-stop shop for the companies when they can find all of the information regarding not only finances, but also establishing businesses, regulatory environment for them. This is extremely important because even yesterday I had a question about how to navigate through different programs, how to find the information both on the national side, but also on the European one. We have a lot of different programs, different possibilities of financing businesses, but it's very difficult to navigate. I admit it. We are trying to do our best, but of course the situation is not ideal. As on MFF, on the 2nd of May, as you maybe know, the Commission will adopt the proposal for the next long-term budget, 21-27. Of course, as I'm always underlining this, this will reflect, and this is very visible, this will reflect our strong focus on simplification, flexibility, European added value, but will also reflect our strong focus on innovation, on industrial policy, hopefully, because we are still discussing them. This is my task to fulfill this. On innovation, industrial development or industrial policy, security and defence. As you maybe know, we will have a new programme which I'm responsible for, so if you have any question on this, I will gladly also respond to this. I'm responsible for European Defence Fund. So the money that we will propose in the next budget, but of course for now up till 2020 we have some small testing money for the member states and for the companies, for cooperation in the industries in defence sector industries. So we are focused on defence industry, and it will be what will be presented on the 2nd of May will be like big blocks, headings or big blocks of money, of course, responding to the needs and responding to the priorities of the European Union and European Commission. And then we will present by mid-June the regulations, which is even for like citizens and for also for everybody who will use the money, is even maybe not more important, but it's much more detailed. So in the regulations, which will be presented between 2nd of May and mid-June, we will show really what detailed way the money will be spent. Again, this is, of course, the proposal of the Commission, then the Parliament and the Council. What I like, maybe just one more sentence, because I'm running out of my time. I still have 4 minutes. I will want to have a very strong first, again, from my perspective. We want to have a very strong and prominent visibility of the industrial sector. So in different programs, there should be like ring-fenced or earmarked money for the industrial projects. In the cohesion policy, in successor or Horizon 2020, which we call FP9, in different programs. They need to be like industrial measures or money for the sources for the industrial projects. One thing. The second thing, of course, programs for the small and medium-sized enterprises. And you know, because Portugal is benefiting from the cohesion policy, but we also have programs that are coming directly from the Commission for small and medium-sized enterprises, which is called COSME. And it's, as I see it now from this perspective, because as you maybe know, I was minister not many, 3.5 years ago in the Polish government. So as I see it now from this perspective, this is a highly valuable program. Of course, this gives some additional feeling to the citizens that also from the European Commission there are some money on, for those, for example, member states that are not using the cohesion policy. So this is additional money for the maybe I'm talking too long about this, but I'm very much attached to this program and I want it again to be visible under the single market program. So from my perspective, again, I'm talking about my portfolio, what is important is to have industrial dimension, a single market together with some focus and visibility again, because it's also important for the small and medium-sized enterprises. And then what will be new is a defense fund and the money for cooperation between defense industries. What also is important, maybe one word on this, because this is also part of my portfolio, is the space sector. We are putting a lot of money to the space sector. I'm trying to explain this, as I understand, in a very simple way. We are not exploring space as a European Commission. We are not for this. This is European Space Agency doing. What we are doing is really we put a lot of money to launch the satellites, and then we take the data. We have two superior, really the best globally programs, European Galileo and Copernicus. We take the data, we receive the data from the satellites, and then we give those data for free to the companies. And I have to tell you, because Portugal is also very much present, and Portuguese companies are very much present in this sector, and I have to tell you that as I visit and as I meet the representatives of these sectors, the sector that takes data from us for free and build businesses on this. This is the fastest growing sector in Europe. Everything, okay, I'm finishing. Everything what we have in any app that you have in your smartphones, which is in any way connected with transportation, is the app that is based on the space data. So I turn your attention to this because it is really a sector that I'm excited about. We are not exploring space. This is not our role. We are doing this for economic reasons and for European economy. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Commissioner. Temos agora a ronda de perguntas, 6 minutos cada grupo parlamentar.
Now, questions from the parliamentary groups. Maria Luís Albuquerque from the PSD, Social Democratic Party. Thank you, Madam Chairman, Madam Commissioner. First, I'd like to greet you and your team and to thank you on behalf of the PSD parliamentary group for being here today with us. The responsibilities that you have, madam, are very important for a country like Portugal. And since our country is a small, open and peripheral economy in geographic context of the European Union, the indepthening of the single market can only bring advantages to the Portuguese companies and consumers if the public policies are appropriate to foster competition and competitiveness, and rejecting all attempts to raise protectionist barriers and ensuring an effective allocation of resources that does not favor only non-transactionable sectors as in the past. The single market is one of the main accomplishments of the EU, and the free movement of people, services and capital is a very important leverage for the harmonic growth of and sustainable growth of the Union. As you know, the Portuguese government is in the Parliament by three parties that are very critical about European Union and the Euro, which naturally has resulted in greater pressure to against the structural reforms that have been put into practice after the crisis and the adjustment program between 2011 and 2014. Some of these objections raise concerns to us as to our capacity to benefit fully from the single market and to participate actively in its development. I'm talking about recent political options that in order to satisfy a claim for giving income back to the Portuguese meant that the budget allocation is now focused on very little public investment. In 2017, there was a growth of this investment, but since 2016 was the lowest ever or in decades, it's still much lower, much below the minimum necessary even to preserve the necessary capital stock and much less to promote growth. So, and is this after having the austerity has been, the end of austerity has been decreed. And the report that Madam Commissioner mentioned about Portugal and that is appended to the Commission's report, there are several concerns listed, and these concerns the our party shares, and we want to report them. Access to funding by SMEs mainly, almost exclusively dependent on bank credit, is very difficult and expensive when compared to their European counterparts. And this is largely due to the fact that it is we have, the bank union is yet to be fulfilled, is yet to be realized. So this, we are not creating an effective level playing field for the companies in the union as regarding access to funding. For instance, the most recent data from the Bank of Portugal show that the funding of SMEs is a historic minimum, and it's making it very difficult for these companies to invest and questions their sustainability. On the other hand, the reduced dimension of the European companies, even the largest ones when considered in an European context, has contributed to low levels of productivity, and the lack of competitiveness prevents growth. The European Commission, in the report, says that the regulatory constraints and other barriers that you mentioned, namely in the service sector, are one of the factors that explain this situation, and that the regulated professions are much higher than in the European average. Now, in terms of collaboration, Portugal is praised by the Commission as to the regulatory framework for local accommodation, but with criticisms to the collaborative regimes of urban transportation. And the report says the current strategy of budget consolidation through the reduction of public investment may have negative consequences on the rest of the economy. The raise of in housing prices stresses the need to reduce the barriers to construction services. Some legal aspects in layoffs may prevent a better allocation of resources with consequences on the investment capacity. Now, considering the responsibilities of Madam Commissioner in these subjects and under the single market implementation and SMEs and tourism, I'd like to know, how do you assess these pressures that the parties that are in the government, in the parliament, that are supporting the government, the parliament, in order to revert the reforms in the labour market and that sustain a better performance of employment, the protectionist initiatives in the collaborative economy sectors in order to make it difficult or to prevent the expansion of these activities in Portugal, the initiatives to raise constraints to local accommodation or short duration accommodation sector that is so praised in the report of the European Commission, and the lack of initiatives as those recommended towards the development of competition in the sectors of civil construction. And finally, since Madam Commissioner is also part of project teams in the Commission related to employment, growth, investment and competitiveness, single digital market and others, I would like to know, how do you expect that the banking union may evolve during, still during this Commission's term, in order to bring it about, namely the access of Portuguese companies to funding at an equivalent cost of their counterparts, and if we can expect any short-term development in the EU project of capital market, namely in order to reduce the dependency of our companies from strictly bank funding and to facilitate their exposure to a universe, an extended universe of investors. Thank you. Thank you, Madam. Now I give the floor to MP Margarida Marques, Socialist Party. Thank you, Madam Chairman. In behalf of the Socialist Party, I'd like to welcome the Commissioner and her team, and I would like to raise a few questions. First, I thank you for the information that you provided in your initial remarks. Now, the first question is about the Defense Fund and the Space Fund that are presented today as new priorities, but already in the 2014-2020 program, they had a 10.5 billion euros budget for the Defense Fund and 11.5 billion euros for the Space Fund. But also, when we look at the use of these amounts, of these sums, we realize that as far as the Space Fund is concerned, there is a clear imbalance in favor of the large companies, with France in the launch of satellites and France and Germany in production. So my question is the following. What specific measures, and I'm referring to the MFF, what specific measures will be adopted for the startups to make sure that the two policies, the space and the defense policy, are not just of use for the major companies? What mechanisms are you thinking about bringing to the regulation so that there is a regional balance and also the possibility for the Portuguese or for the startups in general to participate in these two programs? Mr. Juncker already said that for defense there would be 1.5 billion euros per year for the next program. That would be his proposal. Now, as regards the European semester, I'd like to make a question about the ownership. The ownership regarding recommendations by the member states. We live in democratic societies, governments are elected, and because we are member states of the European Union, we share sovereignty, but the governments have their own programs, and recommendations should be in line with the political programs that have been voted democratically by the citizens regarding the different policies. So I think that for this reason and matters of effectiveness, a greater collaboration between the European Union and the member states in preparing the recommendations to make sure that this ownership is a reality, that would be recommendable. Thirdly, the questions that Madam Commissioner raised about the barriers to the internal market. In the Portuguese case, I would like to raise a specific case about barriers to this internal market. In Portugal, and I agree with you, has too many regulated professions. But we have to see or to read this situation. We have to understand why this is so. As a matter of fact, that was at the birth of the internal market. It was a response to the difficulty in recognizing diplomas by other member states. Madam Commissioner, you know that today the recognition of diplomas has progressed, but at the beginning of the single market, of the internal market, the barriers to the recognition of these university diplomas, of these certificates, was a problem. So we cannot just look at the excess of regulated professions. We have to look at the full scenario, the barriers to the internal market. One last question, cohesion. Madam Commissioner, you said that the ratio between the cohesion verbs and the SMEs sums. And my question is, how do you think that we can step on to a new generation of cohesion policies based on cohesion for competitiveness and that ensures support to SMEs beyond the Cosmos program. Now, as regards the questions you raised about the other MP about the situation in Portugal, I know that you were able to meet ministers of this government, and I'm sure now you have a better situation of the situation in Portugal. And now, my colleague Ricardo Bexiga, if Madam Chairman allows, will use the rest of our time. Thank you, Madam Chairman. Good morning, Madam Commissioner. You have under your responsibility very important subjects for the interest of the Strategy 2030, Portugal Strategy 2030 that we are discussing in the Parliament. There are three dossiers that I'd like to stress that we have followed with great interest or intervention. The reindustrialization of the economy, the issues regarding competitiveness and innovation, and the issues regarding qualified employment. These are all relevant matters for our goal of the strategy Portugal 2030, because we want to put to consolidate Portugal in the convergence with the development of the European Union. The main concern we have today is if, in fact, with the new MFF, there will be a reduction of the currently of the sums currently allocated for these three factors, and if in the as far as the financing modes are concerned, if there is to be a decrease of grants, and this would be bad for the projects that the SMEs have currently going. So what can we expect from the future of European policies in these three areas? Thank you. Now, MP Heitor de Sousa from the left bloc. Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'd like to greet Madam Commissioner for being here. I would like also to greet her team. Madam Commissioner, the subject that encompasses the political your political area as an European Commission is very broad. Your area of responsibilities, in a word, is the economy of the European Union. I would say that is the main chapeau of your political action. So there are several issues regarding various components of the economy, of the industry, the markets functioning, entrepreneurship, funding of companies. All these are very broad matters. But, Madam Commissioner, in the viewpoint of a peripheral country, one of the main difficulties for the integration in the European Union has to do with distance that a peripheral country is has regarding the center of Europe. So the connections, the interconnections that may work or not in terms of the economic relationships between these peripheral countries and the center of Europe. There was a major European project in the beginning of the century for the building of trans-European networks of transport and energy that should have been a leverage to improve connections between Portugal and the European Union. At the end of the program, as you know, the end of the program coincided with the main economic financial crisis, and a lot of these trans-European network projects were discontinued, and Portugal was left under what we can call a protectorate of the IMF and the European Commission and the ECB, and that prevented a lot of those investment projects from being brought about for reasons that had to do with their financing. Now, having come to this point, there are still many difficulties in the trans-European networks of transport and energy, and namely in the case of energy, one of the main problems concerns the lack of capacity, feasibility for the energy flows to flow between the Iberian Peninsula, namely Portugal, which is one of the countries where the production of renewable energies is more relevant to the product, and the rest of the European Union. We have these problems with these interconnections. So my first question to you, madam, is what does the European Commission, what can the European Union do to overcome these challenges of supply and energy connections between Portugal and the rest of the European Union? My second question concerns the energy pattern, the production of energy in Europe. Namely, considering that the Portuguese government has recently authorized the production or the exploration and of oil in the Atlantic coast, South Atlantic coast of Portugal, I ask you, do you think it is normal that in 2018 it has been authorized by the Portuguese government an oil exploration contract, given that one of the most relevant strategic goals of the Paris Agreement and of the Portuguese government itself concerns the decarbonization of the economy and hence the production of energy models or types of energy that have should not have much to do with fossil energy? So, Madam Commissioner, how does the European Commission, or will the European Commission in the next decade, in the next MFF, consider that the exploration of oil has negative priorities in the funding of energy projects? And how will the energy projects supported or based on the production of sustainable energies will be positively discriminated in the context of the political priorities for the production of energy at European level? Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Tortosa. Now, MP Pedro Mota Soares, CDS, the Christian Democrats. Thank you, Madam Chairman, Madam Commissioner. Welcome to Portugal. Welcome to our Parliament. And I would like to greet Madam Sofia Alves, the representative of the Commission here in Portugal. Madam Commissioner, it's in 5 days we will know formally the stance of the European Commission on the next MFF. I must take advantage of this opportunity to ask you several questions about this, regardless of the very interesting portfolio you have and the importance of many subjects that are under your responsibility, that are important to Portugal too. Now, this document that will be published made known in the 2nd of May that we are looking forward to, I have to make some opening remarks, and I want to be very clear about it. We understand the challenge that the European Commission has now to present this MFF, above all due to the fact that a country like the United Kingdom, a net contributor, is leaving. Then there are new policies, new challenges for the funding of this framework, namely issues like defense safety, you already mentioned the European Defense Fund, and matters like the climate change. It's a major challenge that the Commission will have to face and will certainly need a financial envelope to accompany that matter as well. But nevertheless, or notwithstanding that, we can accept that there is a reduction of the budget in cohesion funds, for instance. You already said how important cohesion funds are for the economic development, for the investment, for the productivity, for the qualification, the skills dimension is in fact very important in Portugal. So we cannot accept a reduction of the cohesion funds or the common agricultural policy. It's one of the greatest success of the European Union throughout its history, namely in matters regarding our food self-sufficiency and the independence that this represents for Europe. Europe is a political project, it is also a social project, an economic project, and it is because of that that either we are able to go forward strongly or we may risk a further fragmentation of Europe. A recent study by a think tank by two academics, two scholars, Zoltar Ivan and and Gunther Wolf, they say clearly in their report that as far as the expectable economic growth that we will have in the next community framework, taking into account inflation and economic growth of Europe 27, it will allow us to go to overcome the difficulty of the Brexit. And on the other hand, the possibility of having access to new sources of financing. I'm not talking about the European taxes, namely taxes on the digital economy, the taxes on the carbon taxes. No, I'm talking about, for instance, the possibility that we may have access as European Union to a part of the ECB profits, and this will allow to fund new policies. So we do not agree with this negative discourse saying that it is inevitable to reduce cohesion budget and CAP budget. So two concrete questions. We had President Rebel Finger, who was responsible for the funds, to say, saying that he thinks it is inevitable a reduction of 5 to 10% in the cohesion and in the CAP budget. Now, my question is: these words by Commissioner Wattinger, are they binding for the Commission's stance and the Commission's stance that will be known in the 2nd of May? Another question, because this is a recent debate on the possibility for the Commission to get part of the ECB profits. That's about 56 billion euros. That's a significant value. In the EU proposal, we expect that some political measure will concern the making the use of part of these ECB profits, or will there be a proposal more focused on European taxes, namely the digital economy, financial transactions, and the carbon tax? That's the my party already said that we are against that. A third question, and it's important to ask the Commission about this. The Commission did not follow the European Parliament's proposal to raise the next MFF from 1 to 1.3%. The Commission's proposal is curious, by Commissioner Wattinger saying at 1.xy. It doesn't never said exactly how what would be the other part of this figure. So why Didn't the Commission follow? Didn't the Commission accept this European Parliament's proposal to raise the MFFs to 1.3% of the Union's GDP? Thank you, Mr. Deputy. Now I give the floor to MP Bruno Dias from the Communist Party. Thank you, Madam Chairman, dear colleagues, Madam Commissioner. The Communist Party parliamentary group, the first thing we'd like to say concerns the strategic vision and the political options that are translated into the MFF and the balance of the various MFFs throughout history and the impact that these options have had in our case to the Portuguese economy. We may have an accounting type of perspective and trying to apply money here or there, or we may have an integrated vision of development, growth, and added value in function of the political options. Now, in an accounting type of view, we hear about beneficiaries and payers, countries that benefit and countries that contribute, that pay. But if we follow a vision of the economic benefits of the single market, the roles are reverted. And there is an in-depth of the inequalities and the symmetries between the major powers and countries like Portugal, Germany, France, UK, the Netherlands, of course, Germany way ahead, as the main beneficiaries in the economic viewpoint of the European integration. Portugal is among those that have more to lose or have lost more. And the positions that have been defended and now the threat of Commissioner Wattinger about this decrease to the cohesion funds, it's another brick to this wall that separates the economies of the EU member states. So my concrete question is the following. What strategic options are assumed by the European Commission to revert this path? That this widening of the gap between the economies in the European Union, because it we've been told a lot of propaganda, but that is not confirmed by this reality. And then, as far as the cohesion policy is concerned, I'd like to reiterate the options that to ask about the options that the European Commissioner has said will be for the next MFF. Madam Commissioner, I would also like to say that from all the experience we have on the ground, the contact with the small entrepreneurs, the problem is not that we have too many regulated professions. The problem is that there is no purchase power. The problem is that there is no access to funding. The problem is that these companies are presented with advantages of the integration of the internal market, but then the conditions of access to funding are very unequal for the company, Portuguese companies, vis-a-vis those that are in the main powers of the European Union. So it's a problem of funding and financing. And also the unequal resources in this internal competition. So when we hear about the concrete impacts, the how this translates in the field for the SMEs and micro companies regarding the effective access to funding and what those funding financial instruments in the current framework that we are still going through, the question is, what evaluation does the European Commission make about the grants in financial instruments and their impact in the economy? Because the analysis that we have been making and that we have been getting from most of micro and SMEs is that they are absolutely irrelevant. These funds have been absolutely irrelevant. Irrelevance is a key word here. And so when we speak about the impact and the ventures to access funding of the Portuguese companies with those financial instruments that have been so much advertised within the framework of the community funds, it is also the irrelevance that we have felt when we speak about the support and incentive to Portuguese micro and SMEs through the community funds. Commissioner, you mentioned the COSME program. Now, I would like to ask very clearly, what is the balance of the execution of this program and its impact on SMEs and Portuguese micro companies? Because the beneficiaries in Portugal are dozens, just a few dozens, as far as I know. And so this is an absolutely different reality from the or distant from the Portuguese business fabric of the reality in the field. So I would like to ask, what balance do you make about the experience of the current framework and the main change and main strategic option to change this situation so that we can really help the companies? Thank you, Mr. De Bruno Dias. Now the round of questions is over. I give back the floor to Madam Commissioner so that she may reply. Thank you, Madam Commissioner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. First of all, I thank all of you for your remarks. It's really important for me to listen from you and to have this feeling really what's going on in the member state, although I have a on daily basis contact with the European companies, definitely among them many Portuguese. I will start maybe with the. I will try to address all of your question and remarks. If I cannot answer now, we will provide you, for example, with the very detailed information on COSME and on Portuguese involvement and beneficiaries from COSME program. We will provide you with information on this, because this I do not have in my head for now. But I will start with the last speaker, maybe, because I definitely see those divisions in Europe. There is a lot of divisions in Europe. There is division between those countries that use cohesion policy, that are not using net beneficiaries, net contributors. There are divisions between Eurozone member and non-Eurozone member. There is a lot of divisions. And I'm really struggling for 3.5 years to demolish those divisions. I will say very openly, but I really believe in this, some maybe controversial thesis, that some of our companies, I will not name the countries, I am Polish, some our companies do not need so much cohesion money, they need open markets in Europe. They need single markets in Europe. This is the most important. If I understand the cohesion policy and I understand the importance of the cohesion policy for those member states who are beneficiaries of this policy, but I also feel that we came to the moment when really single market and no economic borders in Europe are much more important. And believe me, I see the protectionist measures in many member states, not naming them. And this is definitely a problem in Europe. This is a huge problem. I'm trying really to, with few of my proposals, commission proposals, of course, because I was backed by my colleagues in the commission, I was trying and I propose, especially in services sector, because in good sector it's much better, but in services sector, I try to propose in my services package few, I did not think, and I still do not think that they were very revolutionary proposals, but they are not backed by some in the European Parliament, unfortunately. So I, for example, propose in my single market services package. I propose very soft packages, as I said before. On regulated professions, soft ones, so the guidance, exchanging of best practices. Then I proposed notification proposals, so exactly the same as we are doing for goods, exactly the same. If any country proposes some regulation that is restricted or that, where are restrictions for services from the other member states, they need to be notified to the Commission in advance, not after they are adopted by the Parliament and they are voted by the Parliament, but before. We proposed also e-services card. I don't know whether you know the proposal. This was something that was very close to my heart, and this was a very small thing, trying to simplify the life of the smaller companies, smaller, not startups, but those who won't go cross-border with their services, those that want to provide the services cross-border. So they could do it under this proposal, like in their own language. So the administration, of course, they would be a little bit more of burden, or a little bit more of it would need a little bit more effort from the national administration. But for the companies, it would be much easier in the national language, you know, not to submit all of those certification, hundreds of or tons of papers to the other administration, you know, justifying as we have such proverb in Holland, they are not the camel, you know. This is a Polish proverb. Just because these are almost the same certificates, we have the common European laws and common European directives, and our companies need few years, 5-7 years, to go cross-border, and it was not backed by the European Parliament. I'm very sorry about this. This is something that then we have single market, it's still under the discussion in the Parliament. This is the last point on our services package, but I want to turn your attention to this single market information tool. This is a very simple tool, exactly the same as the competition law has in its hand. So this is a kind of tool that single market commissioner, not me, my successor, will be able to ask company whether they what they are doing, because I have a lot of signals that companies, especially big companies, especially from some part of the member states, they are breaking single market rules. They are breaking it, just keeping companies from the other member states from their own market. We do not have for now such a right as a commissioner responsible for the single market. I do not have any power in my hands to ask the company really what they are doing. And I wanted this. This is under discussion in the Parliament. They are still discussing it. Hopefully this will be accepted, because this is really important. I had like several such cases, and any time I was asking the companies, please provide me the information, not whether you are breaking single market rules, because of course they are saying no, but provide me information what they are doing on this and this market, and they could say, even to the national government, no, this is my information, I'm not exchanging this with you. So this is my another proposal. But really it's also important to have this tension and to have this backing and support from the member states. Because again, I really see that in single market for services, really European Union is highly divided. And it's now much more visible than a few years ago, because a few years ago, really companies of some parts of Europe were just growing. But now they came to the moment when they want to expand. They want to expand to the other European member states, and they are really keeping out of the markets. We are trying, of course, it has to be combined. They have to be combined measures on access to funding. We discussed it yesterday also in Portugal, and of course all of the national member states, they have their support measures and support sources for small and medium-sized enterprises. By the way, we are discussing, this is the final moment hopefully in this long discussion, about changing the definition of the small and medium-sized enterprises, because we are coming again, referring to what I said before, we are coming to the moment when companies in many member states are very close to become, as we call it, mid-caps. So, and this is for them, this is a very difficult moment, so the definition will be changed, hopefully soon. But a few weeks ago, we announced the establishing of the new fund of funds for the small companies, venture capital fund of funds. We definitely have in Europe, I understand the need for grants, I understand the need for a different kind of, like, very, very simple support for the companies, but definitely what we have in Europe, and we have surveys on this, we have data, we have too few venture capital money, or too small venture capitals in Europe. And this I keep repeating also, our venture capitalists, so our private companies that want to invest, for example, in innovative startups, they are very impatient. They want to have just give money and have them very, very, very fastly back. And this is something which is completely incomparable to any other markets, because then you can have like 7 or 8 rounds of funding until you have your money back. And this is also something that we need to fix in Europe. So we proposed a European venture capital fund of funds for small and medium companies, size companies. But also soon we will propose something which is called Escalar. This is again venture capital, but that wants to attract big insurance companies, health companies. You know, those that so far in Europe were not very active in financing smaller companies. So this is on. There was a question on collaborative economy, very important for me. I think that putting barriers and putting red tapes and even a ban on the collaborative economy is again maybe controversial, but I've been repeating this for many years. This is like closing our eyes and pretending that this is not existing. while this exists. And of course, collaborative economic companies must pay taxes. There must be consumer safety fulfilled, rules fulfilled. But we cannot pretend that this is not existing. This is the way the world is really developing, and this is the way. So I will in a moment reflect about on refer on space and defense. This is also what I see in the space companies. As I said, this is the fastest growing sector. This is the way the companies are now being established, and they are operating in a global market. On space and defense, it was mentioned that there are not new programs. Of course, we said for space, I have not said that it's a new, because it's several years. And what is and what was important for me and this so far is that not to waste this money that was put so far to the space sector. Waste, it means because we put billions of euros in preparing ourselves and building a constellation, full constellation of the Galileo and Copernicus. By the way, Copernicus constellation was just the day before yesterday finished. So we have all of the satellites in place. For Galileo, there will be a case finally in 2020, but we are launching satellites. And the program is on time and on budget, and this is my responsibility, the main one. But what I mean not wasting, it means that we need to put additional money first for maintaining the current infrastructure, but then to also to respond to the needs which we have. So the new data for the companies, the new links between space and defense sector, so that's why we need really substantial amount of money for the space sector, and hopefully we'll have it in the next budget. This was not new, but this is a good continuation. On defense, definitely what is the European Defense Fund is completely new thing. My predecessor, Michel Barnier, he started with a research in defense sector. So I started with this. But as I told many, many, many times before, I don't know when this moment came, on when this moment appeared, that, you know, all of those links came together. So our really efforts and our good management of the research in defense program, then, of course, unfortunately, all of the external and internal threats that appeared in the European Union, and the highest will from the member states to start to cooperate in the defense sector. It was not the case before. It was not the case for 60 years, in fact. So, but what we are starting from, I don't know what will be after 2027, but we are starting now from the cooperation in defense industry. And this has very visible and important economic dimension. So the European defense sector really employs millions of people. It has billions of euros revenues. And what we try to do is really to facilitate and sometimes, again, force a little bit member states to cooperate between them. Because what we propose, the trialogue, so the discussion between us and the Council and the Parliament are ongoing, so I don't know what will be the final result. But what we propose, that this is money only for the European companies, and if they want to take the money, because we have this small amount of money still in this budget, probably you are talking about this, but it was really a fight to find this money still until 2020. What we want is to have at least two member states, at least three companies cooperating for one project. Of course, this is our proposal. Again, I want to underline it because I don't know what will be the final result of the discussion between the member states. So so this is this on defense space. On cohesion policy, maybe a few words, although I said what I think about the cohesion. I mean, cohesion policy is a wonderful policy in Europe, I have to tell you. I do not see, because there was a quote that there are some negative discussion around the cohesion policy. Believe me, of course, I hear those negative signals from some member states. I do not see it at all, and I want to be very frank and strong on this. I do not see at all though negative discussion in the European Commission. What we are trying to do is trying really to combine the needs. All of you express some needs for the future budget with the money that we have. So we need to take under account that we'll have less money because of Brexit. And we have still new needs, the same money for the cohesion policy or even more, the same money for the common agriculture policy, the same money or more definitely for innovation programs, so FP9, plus some space, plus some defense, plus some other programs. So we will provide... I know, Madam Chair. I know I'm finishing.
I'm worried about your schedule to go.
Okay, just 2 minutes. So probably, because of course the final decision will be known and made public by on the 2nd of May, we'll probably propose to the Council a list of the new own resources, a list of them, because Council must decide whether they want new things to be done with the less money, which is, I think, not possible. Yesterday I had that maybe more efficiency, of course, efficiency, and I'm seeing, I was the first critic of the European Commission as I was a national minister. I was the first critic. I see it now from this side, and I do not see a lot of inefficiency. I do not see, a lot. What is painful for me is time. I mean, everything takes too long. But this is the beauty of the European Union and the European Commission and discussion between the member states. For me, everything is too long. But the rest is really... I have to also admit myself that as I was criticizing really European institutions very harshly as I was minister for the regional development, so for the cohesion funds for 2 periods, so a lot of money, and I was criticizing very, very frankly European Commission. This is not, this is not the same picture as you see from Brussels. So I think the cohesion policy, if I may again express my personal feeling, although this is not my portfolio, this is one of the best policies in the EU, because this is, again, sorry for this word, holistic. This is horizontal. You can really intervene with cohesion policy at the regional level, because this is regional policy, financing infrastructure, skills, companies. You can combine it if you propose and if you create the program well. It gives you marvelous, superior premium results. But of course, it needs a lot of efforts from both sides. Commission, which really puts the regulations for everyone, which not always fits to any one region in Europe. But then this is the task of the member states and on the regional authorities. How to really transform this regulation into real life, but it can give enormous results. It's visible in Portugal. It's visible very much in Poland. I'm finishing because my time is running out. But I will provide you with the information on Cosmen and other things that I noted and which I have not referred to. Thank you very much. Ah.
Thank you very much, Madam.
Thank you, Madam Commissioner, for your availability. We know that these hearings are always very interesting. There are always many questions. This is always very interesting. Thank you for your availability. Thank you to the MPs of the various committees that were present here. And I'd also like to thank the Commissioner again for being here. And we are looking forward to the MFF proposal next May 2nd. Thank you again, and have a good trip back.